And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. And as we mentioned before the break, we'll be talking indoor track and field here as the head coach of the Northwest men's and women's track and field teams, Brendan Masters, is with us, and along with a performer off the women's side, and Corey Sines. And, Coach, you bring in a national champion in here today to talk with us.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple times. Chloe's been amazing for us. This is her senior year, and she's been an absolute competitor for years now. I started as a freshman, and it's exciting to get her on the radio show and talk a little bit more track and field.
And let's just know before the break, we talked about keeping the team in shape and ready to go. And I know traditionally when we talk to you on the show, that's one of the biggest challenges you have during the indoor season is that long break between your last meet before in December, and then you come back here in January with several weeks off. How's the team done as far as what you've seen coming back?
Right, you're exactly right. It's really difficult because we compete in December and then we give them 6 weeks off, but we only have 6 weeks from now till MIAA championship. So it's really difficult, and we don't keep them on campus. And so not everybody has an opportunity like we have here at Hughes to run inside. So a lot of people are running outside in the cold, and it was great here weather-wise until it wasn't, and then it got really cold, right? So, we test coming back and have a lot of discussions on training and how it went over the break and also when we get back, and testing went really well. So I'm very excited about how the kids did overall. We had some great performances in our test, and so I know we're ready to go for the most part. Of course, there's a few people that decided to not do as much as they should, but for the most part, I think we're really ready to go.
And you had one performer who kind of got a head start on things this past weekend, and Grant Bradley running in a mile event in Colorado.
Yeah, Grant's from Colorado, so it makes it really nice for him to go home and to kind of acclimate to that altitude for a few weeks before he runs. And it was a great meet to go into, and we didn't get not a lot of D2 teams got into that meet, and we were able to get him in, and he ran great. 4:04 converted time, obviously, with the altitude change, but that puts him one of the top runners in D2 right now anyway in the mile.
Yeah, finished eighth overall, and he was the only GT runner in that particular bit, if I understand right.
Yeah, only D2 guy, and he's such a competitor. We love Grant and what he's done. Obviously a big leader for us in cross-country, but we expect big things out of him for indoor and outdoor track and field this year as well.
You know, as we mentioned, Chloe Sines is with us, and you talked about she's had a great winter. I think one of those in that Mel Churchman Classic, personal best, Chloe, in the 300 there.
Oh, yeah. I think I could have done a lot more, but it's okay.
Yeah, she's a little nervous going around the corner and didn't know how fit she was. She left a little in the tank, but still a personal best, and it's exciting to get to a nice race early, because I think you've run the 300 almost every year in the December. She's not quite ready to open up in that 400 yet in December, but she really likes that 300.
Yeah, the confidence isn't there yet.
Well, I guess from one standpoint, you set a personal best in that event, but yet you say there's a little more in the tank, to where I imagine that's something fun to look forward to, try to improve on what you did in the Mill Churchman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to open up here at our home meet this upcoming weekend to just see how the first 400 will go for me.
Yeah, Chloe's had an amazing break, and she hasn't always had amazing breaks for us, but this year she's done incredibly well. She used Hughes Fieldhouse throughout the break and was here almost every practice. So we open it a lot for the kids when we can, and she did a great job. So this will be the first time where she's probably, she's more fit than she's ever been coming into the season, which is very exciting.
And Chloe, from that standpoint, how much of that is being an experienced runner, knowing what you need to do to get where you're at right now, as opposed to maybe some of the earlier years, just trying to adapt to college running, and now as a senior here with a chance to really go out in a flourish here in the next few months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Feel like senior year, just settling in and hitting that, yeah, this is the last time that I get to run, and so really taking it serious of, yeah, I need to prioritize these 6 weeks in order to let this season be truly how I want it to be.
You know, we talk about that a lot, is winter break is where indoor champions are made, or where indoor meets are lost. And so we had a good discussion. Chloe's very excited about that. We talked about that. She followed through and just was amazing every week doing her stuff. So this is the first year also that she doesn't have to do our fun training We have a, I have a special training segment for those that didn't quite get it done over break called Black Ops Training. It's never fun, is it, Chloe?
No. So,
but it gets you right, and she's always done it. But this year, you don't have to do it.
Yep.
So how much of an incentive was it to come back in the shape you are to try to avoid that type of workout coming back?
It really wasn't that hard. I mean, I feel like the workouts that we've had at practice this past couple of days has been harder than the workouts over break. So it's been a lot easier coming back after just, you know, sticking to it over the winter break, and those practices weren't really hard.
It's exciting for me. She's tested off the charts for her, and I have a test when they come back to, you know, kind of estimate potential based on history and where with each kid in a formula that gives us an idea of how fast they can run in indoor. And her time and her performance in our testing is pretty exciting about what she can run. It's a big PR.
Oh, that's something I think as a coach you really have to really appreciate and get excited about as well.
Yeah, and more than that, I can talk to the kids and go, this is where your numbers suggest that you should be by the end of indoor. Now it's up to her and I to finish out the next 6 weeks and do everything we can to get her ready to make those marks. But by the end of indoor, the mark that shows up on paper based on how she tested this week is fast. It's really exciting.
As I mentioned a little bit earlier, this weekend is the Richard Alsop Open. Before we talk about the actual competition in this event, I know we talked last year on this too, but you're honoring such a person that has had such a huge impact on the track and field program at Northwest Missouri State through the years, and Richard Alsop, and I think this is a great way to honor what Richard's meant to the program.
Absolutely, and I was an Emporia State guy, and I remember Coach, he's always always saying hello, and no matter if I was wearing black and gold or the green, right? And it is a great way to honor a guy that went around and really started, you know, kind of the legacy here as far as I'm concerned. I didn't know the previous coaches before, so no offense to them. But, you know, he had a big impact on who we are today and what they had accomplished in his career here.
And like so many coaches, that impact just didn't stop as they graduated from Northwest. I know a lot of alums of the track and field program really appreciate what he did for them as an athlete and also as a student at Northwest.
Right. He was obviously a big mentor and meant a great deal to the alumni. Anybody that I talk to about Coach Alsop, it's just like, man, what a great guy. We love this guy. And man, to have that impact on young people is incredible. And as a coach, that's a big deal for me. I hope that in some years, Chloe thinks fondly of me and not all the workouts I put her through, but fondly of me as a mentor.
Oh, no, I'm grateful.
Yeah, most of the time when you hear the athletes come back and talk about those workouts, they look at it as something that they're glad they went through, and I think they share a common bond with a lot of people that have had to work out like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the further away from the workouts you get, the easier it is to talk about them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Richard Alsop Open this weekend. Let's talk about the competitions coming in for this.
Yeah, we're excited about it. This is a big one. You know, this meet has grown and grown and grown, and we actually ended up having to make it an invitational on the paperwork side, and so we did a lot of work on inviting teams, and of course, you know, we, poor Nikki, Coach Nikki got about six or seven emails from teams, hey, I can't enter. It's like, well, yeah, because, you know, we had to kind of close it up a little bit. We're expecting, you know, 25 teams. We're expecting 800 to 900 athletes in a one-day meet. That is really hard to get done. And we can't, this meet is an invitational in that we want teams to come and be able to compete all of their kids if possible. We have an invitational in the Bearcat invite, which is more like it's an invitational because it's high level talent and not everybody gets to run, right? So it's more open to a lot of teams, but we kind of cut down the entry level so we can manage the meet appropriately. But it's also a two-day meet. So this one's a one-day meet. It's really difficult to get everybody in. We'll be there from, you know, competing from 10 to 8 probably on Saturday. So It'll be a three-ring circus. There'll be something for everybody. There'll be tons of people here in Maryville, and like I said, about probably 800 athletes in total on Saturday.
And Chloe, as far as preparing for this meet, what are some of the goals you have coming in for this weekend?
Yeah, I think my goal is just to finish the race for the 400, just to see where I'm at. I am encouraged because of like what Coach said of just putting in the work this winter, and so I'm excited to probably put up a faster time than I ever have before in my first 400 for this season.
Yeah, I think it's about executing the plan. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be fit enough to put down these monster times, because if we do, I've trained you incorrectly. We're going to work through this meet. As Chloe said, the practices that we've had coming back, we're going to continue that. We're going to be tired and a little sore coming into this Saturday, but we know that we have to work through these. We don't have a win-loss record like other teams. I think we've talked about that before. It's good for us coaches so we can train through this. So Chloe's goal this Saturday, she said it perfectly, is to execute, finish the race properly, right? Let's go get our race plan and knock it out and manage expectations and know the numbers are what they are. It is what it is. We're going to have some great competition, great marks, but for the most part, it's about executing a plan. It's about warming up properly. It's about competing with heart, and it's about finishing the race the right way. The numbers will come.
Mm-hmm. I imagine the big key right now is you want to build up to the MIAA meet, and then from there beyond the rest of the season, isn't it? You might be peaking at the exact right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for Chloe, someone like Chloe, who's been the national meet every year, mm-hmm, since you were a freshman, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. So for her, we will be, you know, kind of training through conference a little bit. We're a good conference team, but we're a better national team. And someone like her that is going to make the meet and going to be in her open event and also relay, the goal is to be great when it counts for her, and that's national. Not everybody will get to go to national, so we'll peak them up a little bit differently for conference. But Chloe's one that she'll be a little tired and fatigued even going into conference, but she can still handle a pretty good load, even a little tired, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gloria, how much of the experience you've had at the national level, how does that help as far as maybe mentoring some of the younger players or runners that are coming through the program? Imagine that's something that's very important to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like even within our first meet that we had, I wasn't as nervous as I usually am. And so even within the past year at nationals, I didn't really have nerves like I used to. And so that gives me the ability to be able to help the younger girls who are there for the first or the second time, just to help them process it and to perform their best as well, just to be there for them.
Also, when you look at the success you've had in the individual events as well as the relays, kind of talk a bit about the relay aspect of things, where it's part of a teamwork thing there as well. Obviously, the individual thing, you're wanting to do well for yourself as well as come up with points for the team standings and everything. But the relay, I would imagine there's something special about being part of a team on that.
Oh, yeah. I start the race, and so I like doing that. I don't think I've ever been any other leg in the 4x4, and so I think it's fun to just get the team started in the relay and then hand off the stick, and I just have confidence in the other girls' abilities because of all of our training that we do together. And so it's been a lot of fun to just see where the 4x4 has come from my freshman year, which has been so amazing just to be a part of and witness.
Yeah, Chloe's got a big task. The opening leg is very difficult, and she started from the beginning as a freshman. I tend to start through the years. I mean, Tiffany Huey was a starter at one point, and when they're young, we tend to do that starting, and they have it's a little bit more like an open 400, so it feels a little bit more real, right? It feels a little bit more familiar. But then I typically move people off into, you know, second, third, or even fourth legs as time goes, and Chloe has done such a good job. I can't take her off of it. She's always so consistent. She's going to give the second leg an opportunity to have a free path. And I say that because in indoor, Chloe is the one that cuts in. on indoor, which outdoor she just runs in lane, right? And so if you have someone who can take you to the lead or be out of the rest of the mess in indoor, it's really, really helpful for legs 2, 3, and 4 to run with clear track in front of them, right? So Chloe's done such a great job. I can't take you off of it, right? And she loves it. She wants to do that.
So
she goes like, I don't know if I can even take a hand off. I just know how to give the stick away. So she's been so great at it. I can't take her off of it, and it's going to be very difficult. We got to try to figure out how to get somebody an opportunity next year to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What are some of the things you like about being the leader on that, as far as being that first leg? What are some of the main things you like about that?
I think just having the baton in the blocks, I think that's the most exciting part, and just handing off and then watching my teammates, or trying to watch my teammates run their legs.
If you're not bent over, try to catch your breath, right? Yeah, you know, I think that something about that baton, it's magic. Right, and kids always run a faster split than they do in the open. They always, and in my team, we've always run with such heart for our team, and I think that's our culture and who we are. And when you get that baton in your hand, you're not running for yourself anymore. And Chloe had a hard time figuring that out. She's done a really good job as of late, but she wouldn't run as fast for herself as she would for her team. And now it's changed as you've grown, but we've had that conversation a lot. It's like, do I have to pretend you have a baton? Let's go run really fast for yourself, Chloe. And sometimes that's hard for kids. And Chloe was one of those. You get that baton and it's magic, and she just fights so hard for her team.
Chloe, let's just talk a bit too as you're into your senior year here, kind of go back a few years, and some of the things that really attracted you to the Northwest program and made you decide this is where you wanted to have your collegiate career at.
Yeah, I coming in on my visit, I just first of all knew that coach knew what he was talking about, and so seeing that he was really into what he had planned and how it had his program, I think that really caught my eye. My high school coach was not like that at all, and so I didn't know what numbers were, what numbers I needed to be running, and just how to execute through even form or block work, like all of that I did not know. And so coach really seemed like he had an idea about what he was doing, and so I think that's what really drew me to this school. And then obviously just the people too, just being welcoming.
As far as academics go, just talk about that line of what your experience at Northwest Missouri State.
I academics have been fine. I wouldn't say I put a whole lot of effort into it. I mean, I'm just a business management major, so I kind of just get by almost, but the academics program is perfect, and I think I've honestly probably have gotten better each year than my freshman year.
You're doing great in the classroom, trust me. You think you're just getting by, but you're doing fantastic.
Well, what's the future look like for you?
So I've actually started my own online boutique, and I'm planning to work a full-time job after and then continue to run with my business.
And what's the name of the business?
It's Coco's Closet. And then my website is cocoscloset.kc.com.
Pretty cool. I told her we better get a spot in here. So, but she's done a great job. She's very excited about this. You know, it's Northwest has a great academics program, and it allows the kids to really develop. And she has grown up so much. My goodness, you were just such a quiet little thing as a freshman, and the way you've grown, and not only for our program but academically, and what you've done is exciting, and you're gonna have a great career because of your work ethic and your passion. So it's gonna be fun to watch you.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, the fun part about it is her career at Northwest isn't done yet, though.
We got things to do, and she's put in the work to be able to achieve those. And I'm so excited to see her launch this Saturday, you know, hopefully we get to execute, and there'll be a nice number, but there's going to be big things coming from Chloe this year.
All right, sounds great there. And again, the Richard also opened this weekend. Just claim, and what folks can expect if they want to come out and watch this.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Again, you know, we'll start. We don't know for sure exactly timing, but you can pretty much plan on 10 to 8. That something's going to be going on, and again, a lot of people, a lot of things. Come watch. There's something for everybody at our meets, because you know, at indoor venues are so nice. You could see everything, and there'll be a lot of people, a lot of kids. It's going to be fun.
All right, sounds great, Brandon and Chloe. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, we've been talking with Chloe Sines along with Brandon Masters on indoor track and field. We'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at MarryvilleForum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We now talk men's basketball at Northwest Missouri State with head coach Matt Keeley, along with Javion Byers, guard on the Bearcat team. And coach, coming off a road trip, 1-1 trip, and a big win over Central Missouri to get things started off last week.
Yeah, any game in our league, and especially games on the road, are big time challenges. And so our guys met it and have played even arguably better on the road at times this year, especially here of late than we have at home. So trying to keep that going as we head out west this week.
Yeah, you talk about playing a little bit better on the road. How much of that, too, is just the way the schedule has played out, where it's been a little hard to get in that home routine with the way you come back, play a couple games maybe, and then back on the road for an extended period of time? I imagine that plays a little bit of a factor in it.
Sure, and then you got Christmas break in there and where, you know, guys aren't in class and rhythms and routines are just different. They're not off, but they're just different than what they are. So our guys are always trying to find routine and habit. So, you know, just practicing at the same time of day, even when, you know, we maybe could go earlier or later, just trying to find the same practice times and, you know, the same lifting days and, you know, trying to find a little bit of that routine. But settling into the routine of practicing on Wednesdays and heading off to a couple Thursday, Saturday games. And even when you traveled with us up to the Northwest, it was, you know, Saturday, Monday, but still a game day in between, and we're able to treat it like that a little bit. So have had a little bit more rhythms, routines to our travel than we have to, you know, even some of our homestand so far.
Now, I mentioned that you brought along Javion Byers with us for the show here today. Just talk a bit about what Javion's meant to your team.
Yeah, Javion, you know, we've talked a few after games on some stat lines and stuff, and referred to him kind of as the microwave at time and instant offense. And but he does a lot more stuff than that. Certainly, you know, you see that in stat lines and stuff, but comes in as a secondary ball handler at times when he's playing with Emery, comes in and plays in, you know, in replace of Emery at moments, and just has, you know, the ability to play multiple spots on the floor for us. You know, can guard different spots on the floor for us, you know, with one, his quickness, and two, his physicality, depending on, you know, whether that's a point guard on the other team or even, you know, a three or a four. It's not something that we really blink at, you know, thinking that he can't handle it. So has certainly been a guy that we've leaned on, you know, and more so as the year has gone on, and he's responded in kind.
Yeah, Javion, one of the games that really stand out to me was out on the West Coast trip there, that Central Washington game. He came off 17 points, a career high there, and just really gave a team a boost coming off the bench in that game.
Yeah, man. That game, you can tell Emory had it going first half. Seemed like it was something that we needed. We needed another guy to get going and get the momentum going. And one of my biggest things is to bring the energy. And I feel like I did that in that second half and caught fire, like Coach said. I can be a microwave at times, and that was one of those moments where I was really feeling it.
Right, and then we go back to last week against Central Missouri in Warrensburg. Coach just kind of talked about that last play. Javian was very integral in that particular play, too, setting up the shot for a Moose to knock down the big three, and just kind of talk about how all that set up.
Yeah, he ran that about right, both from the execution standpoint as well as, like, just the time on the clock standpoint. You know, his timing was good. His pulse and his pace were what we wanted, you know. I didn't remember it exactly until we saw the replay a little bit, but hey, Jay, if you get a chance to go lay this in, it's a 2-point game. We'll absolutely take that. But if not, you know, Moose is going to be open on this. Just the way the play was designed, we felt pretty confident in that, and he ran it exactly what we wanted and made a great decision with it and a great pass on it, you know, 4.5 was left on the clock there. The thought process, maybe if we needed offensive rebound putback, you know, almost ended up being a second or two too much, you know, as they came back at us the other way. But, there was really no hesitation as far as we drew that one up and putting the ball in his hand and letting him make a good choice, and he obviously did.
Yeah, Javion, from your standpoint, just take us through that last possession there.
Yeah, I knew how the game was going. Their defense collapsed a lot throughout the game, so I knew I would have a chance to get a bucket at the rim to tie the game, but the way we drew it up, we all trusted Moose as well. We knew that was going to be open for sure, so I just made sure to get the pass there right on time, and Moose delivered. So
yeah, it worked out pretty darn good there, no doubt about that. And then, again, going 1-1 on that trip, a tough loss over in Topeka against a Washburn team that's on a roll right now.
Well, I think it came out today. They are officially number one in the country and you know, undefeated, and they are rolling, absolutely. You know, they got a really good group of guys that complement each other and are skilled dudes and coached well. And, so they're a challenge. They've been a challenge to everyone they've played this year. I don't think they played a single-digit game, you know, this year where they're just beating on some teams and, you know, not looking too far ahead, but they're going to be back in our gym here in 10 days or so. And you know, we got a couple that we want to take care of before that. But certainly left a bad taste in our mouth. We think we're capable of playing better than we did that day. That'll be one that, you know, that we'll try to make some adjustments for and see if we can't get a better result.
You know, I talked to you after the post game on this too, but to me, one of the things that really stood out was the effort level he still had down the stretch in that game, still diving after the loose balls and doing those things that eventually I think will come back and pick up some W's with that type of effort.
Yeah. Like Coach said, I feel like, you know, Washburn's, they've been getting after it against everyone this season, and it hasn't been really close with a lot of teams. But as we've talked as well as a team, we've continued to up our battle and our intensity and our will each and every day, starting at practice, so we can carry those habits on as we go forward throughout the season. And, yeah, like we have film and we talked about a play where Byron was a guy that was continually diving on the floor no matter what the score is or what time of the game or how the game's going, and that's something that we're all trying to continue to do as a team and get everyone on that level so we can get some of those wins with that energy that we need.
And again, on the road this week with Nebraska Kearney and Fort Hays State, second time around for these two teams, and the way the schedule's worked out this year, it seemed like in the past you see the teams the second time around maybe coming up in February or so, but you turn around and you've got these two guys right back on the schedule this week.
Yeah, right away. Trip out west, obviously, that's an hour from my hometown, you know, so we'll see what kind of crowd we can get there at Hayes on the Saturday game. But two unique challenges as travel partners. You know, stylistically, you know, Hayes beat you up, crazy physical, guard you, slow-paced, defensive-minded team. You know, Kearney more willing to get up and down the floor and get enough stops and stuff like that. So it'll be, you know, kind of two different styles there between Thursday and Saturday. But, we're getting to play. That's still what we want to do. Like, coaches like practice and all that, but guys like to play, you know. And so we'll get another couple. We had a good one yesterday, another couple good ones in this week before we take off Wednesday afternoon and you know, be ready to you know, show that we're better than we were 2 weeks ago. And that's the best part is the marker is like, man, we know – It's not 6 weeks in between opponents. Like, how much have we gotten better here even in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think one of the things from that Fort Hays State game you can take out of that last, 7 minutes of that game, Fort Hays State didn't hit a field goal at all. They got other points from the free throw line down the stretch there, but did such a great job defensively against a Fort Hays State team that, again, their style of play lends to maybe a little bit lower scoring game than some other squads, but still made things very tough for Fort Hays State to run their offense down the stretch.
Yeah, we're going to have to score some more points, though, to give ourselves a chance in that. And so, but yeah, certainly a takeaway that we lead on and we're capable of. You know, we've been a little more offensive minded here in practice for the last week or two. You know, working on both still, obviously, but as we're trying to shore up some ways to score some more points, you know, leaned into that, but still such a sound defensive group. As they've been well coached here through the years, and so that showed itself and came to fruition there in the last part of that Hays game.
And one of the nice things about that trip I took with you guys out west, get a chance to know the players maybe a little bit better. And one of the things I learned about Javion is not only is he a heck of a basketball player, but a pretty darn good musician as well.
Pretty talented. You have to tell him, Javion.
Yeah. No, that was cool to let you know. That side of me, you know, outside of basketball. That's just something, skill that I picked up early on from family. I mean, Grandpa had perfect pitch, and that's just something I picked up.
So just for people, he's got perfect pitch, and he can play by ear. So he can play the piano by ear. So he can hear it, and then he can sit down, and he can play it. That's all he needs.
Yeah. Tell us a story about, what was it, last year with the talent show, where you had, maybe 30 minutes to learn a song to get out there, and you guys took, first place in the talent?
Yep. So, yeah, that day was crazy, man. I didn't plan on doing the talent show because it's usually for the freshmen, but I was a newcomer last year, and Patty Gallagher's only freshman we had, so he needed some support out there. So, I ended up deciding to take part in that talent show 30 minutes or right after practice. So we had a 30-minute time slot to practice before we perform, and, you know, it just came natural to me, so we got the job done.
Now, what was the song, and how did you go about picking it up so quickly to be able to get out there and perform?
Yeah, so with my perfect pitch ability, it's easy for me to just play anything that I hear. So all I said was, Patty, pick a song that you know the words to, and something that's exciting for the crowd to hear. And we decided to pick Viva La Vida by Coldplay. And since Patty knew some of the words, he forgot when we performed midway through, but I kept them in flow with the piano and kept it going. So
was the hardest part just finding a piano to get up on stage for that?
Yeah, so that was probably the hardest thing. I had to play on some old janky keyboard that was hard to play on, but if I were to have a real piano, it would have been even better than it was.
I understand, too, that it's not just the piano that you're able to play.
Yes, so I'm also a percussionist. I ended up getting into that in middle school, and part of that really helped me with piano as well, so being able to pick up those skills in that was very interesting. Sure.
Is it music just a good way for you to maybe relax during the year, not only with the demands that you have on basketball, but also academics and things where you can just kind of set aside and relax a little bit there?
Yeah, for sure, because it can be very stressful at times, you know, with all the homework, schoolwork, and basketball. And, yeah, I use music a lot to be – it's more of therapy for me to play a lot and for fun, but – the better I've gotten, the better it's been to relax while playing.
Well, that sounds fun there. And as far as you look at the rest of this season from a basketball standpoint, what are some of the goals you have for yourself?
Yeah, we're just going to continue to strive to get better each and every day. Like Coach said, we've continually got better, even though you might not see it on the score sheet or within our record. But we see it every day at practice. We see it every game, how we are continuing to build and get better and start to fight more and have more will, which is helping us get into better situations as we look forward.
One more thing, we might just talk about your path to getting to Northwest and talk to us a little bit about your time leaving Liberty and finding your way to Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, so after leaving Liberty, I ended up taking community college route, went to Butler Community College, spent the year there, and just decided that it was probably best for me to look for a better opportunity, and I just happened to get a great opportunity in a school in North Dakota, Lake Region State College, and took the risk to go up there, which was scary at first because I didn't expect to go anywhere that far, but I ended up going up there and having a great season individually and had numerous schools to choose from. And Bennett had texted me throughout the season how Northwest had ended up looking at me, but I haven't had a text yet. And when we got home from school, I ended up going up and working out and playing here, and they love what they saw, so That's how I ended up at Northwest.
Sounds great there. And, Coach, back on the road this week. We talked about it, but Nebraska Kearney and Fort Hays State. So looking forward to what should be a couple good games for you this coming up.
We hope so. Thanks a lot, John.
Again, that is Matt Keeley, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State. Ethics coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, along with Javion Byers. We'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this.
Support for KXEV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we are diving into Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. The Bearcats coming off a 2-0 weekend, taking down Central Missouri and Washburn this week on the road against Nebraska Kearney and Fort Hays. We've got head coach Austin Meyer with us, as well as junior guard Ella Moody. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. So Coach, overall, coming off a 2-0 weekend, a couple of really good wins. I know you probably got tired of talking about the losing streak, and so you kind of break that in a big way. Had to feel good to do it, especially in the fashion you do at Washburn and at UCM.
Yeah, it was huge. We had talked about it. We'd been in a funk, and just to be able to get that win and have it happen was big. We started off obviously really slow against UCM, kind of built that deficit, but then we battled back and played really well. Thought we played one of our better games offensively. And then, going to Washburn, which is always a tough place to win. Northwest hadn't won there much over the years and, competed, played well, and found a way to get another road win.
Ella, is that big? Just you guys put in so much work, so much time in the gym to be able to get to this point. You start off 7-1. After going through a tough streak like that when you're 7-7, is it nice to kind of see all that pay off once again and be like, all right, we kind of righted the ship right there?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the gym, there's someone always in there, and we just prioritize getting in the gym and working hard, and it's been nice these last few games to see all the hard work pay off and see the small things that we've been working on just go and put the ball in the basket and all the little things. So
we always make the comment that that winning's contagious, or you kind of see a couple shots go down and that kind of leads to everybody else. But do you feel that a little bit more when you've been in a funk, then you come out of it and get that first win in Warrensburg? You're like, oh, yeah, this is what this feels like.
Oh, yeah, and you can just tell from the bench energy when we start getting up in the games and everyone's just cheering in the crowd. You can just feel, even though it's not a home game, it's great.
An 8-point win over UCM, a 5-point overtime win over Washburn. Coach, you talked about getting in that 13-point deficit in the first quarter against UCM. What along the way kind of flipped that it kind of got back to being the first half of Northwest that we saw?
Yeah, I mean, there was just some focus things early. We missed a couple easy ones, had a couple breakdowns defensively that we normally don't do, but then we just got things going, started clicking offensively. We're running more set plays. We're starting the ball in CK and Molly's hands pretty much every possession early. And I think that's really helped of making sure those two know we need them to make plays, and then it's people playing off of them. And, somebody like a Lindsay Kelderman that, her role on this team is to be a ball mover and be ready to catch and shoot. And I think just being more role defined and kids buying into it. And obviously Ella played really well. She's a, you know, she had some tough breaks early, broken nose. It's pretty straight right now though. But yeah, for the moment, battled some sickness and she was right there in the mix early. You know, that can be a challenge, but getting back from Christmas break, came in, competed. And she's a kid that's always in, you know, wanting to get in the gym, wanting to watch film and get better and great attitude and all that. And so, you know, she gives us another dimension too of just a downhill driver, can shoot it as well, put pressure on the defense. And, you know, she got her shot in that UNK game and played really, really hard, high motor defensively. And that's a big thing for her. And so, yeah, just people playing roles and other people stepping up. And, it's a contagious thing. You know, when you have your struggles sometimes, you know, offensively, it can be contagious that way. And then the other way, from a confidence standpoint. So, you know, we've had some of our better games offensively from an efficiency standpoint, field goal percentage, all that after Christmas. So, you know, hopefully that's a good sign for us moving forward, because overall, you know, we've had some defensive breakdowns here and there, but overall defensively, we've been pretty good all year. I think we're top two or three in the league in fewest turnovers. So, a lot of those statistical categories from a system standpoint, you feel pretty good about it. And, so hopefully our offense is at another level now.
You know, every season is completely different. Even though you bring back so many that got a lot of playing time, it's never going to work out quite the same. You think about an Ella's case of battling sickness, injury, all this, and trying to work her way back in. Is that kind of hard at times as a coach who's been around? I mean, we're bringing back this many players. We're just going to take off, but inevitably every season is going to have its bumps along the way. Is that just one of those things of we just got to work through it?
Yeah, and we have a lot of people in the roster too, and we talked about that. And you go back to early on, you know, you look at the people that played the most minutes early. You look at the win against Ashland, and, you know, somebody like Aaliyah Riley is out there for 30 minutes. You know, she was third on our team in assists, third on our team in deflections, and really did a really good job for us early on in the season through our preseason scrimmages. And she goes out with an injury, you know, has some trouble getting back to where she was. And then you got somebody like Evelyn who has just been really solid, knows all the plays, is going to take care of the basketball. And so she's earned minutes recently. Talked about Ella being back in our mix. And, so there's a lot of different kids, and sometimes it can be hard because there's only so many minutes to go around. And obviously for us right now, our starters play the bulk of our minutes. And, but yeah, we really stress on, you know, you get a 3 or 4 minute game in practice, you get a 3 or 4 minute stretch in the game, that's your chance to go make the most of it. So as a player, and this is where Ella's, you know, kid that's done a great job with this, is, you know, you can complain about playing time, this or that, or you can go do something about it. And she's, like I said, one of those kids that has just tried to find solutions and been a great teammate, and it's showing now with her playmaking on the floor. You know, she had a big three against UCM, is a really good cutter, puts pressure on the defense downhill, and Washburn had a big basket late for us. You know, obviously she's, what are you, 5'11"? Is that accurate?
Yeah, sure.
5'11", long arms, athletic. So that makes a difference too. You know, Washburn was a team that downhill drives it, and we're trying to do more of that. And that's shown the last two games for us. We've got to the free throw line more in the last two games than we have probably in the last few years. So, Washburn drove it downhill. And so a lot of times just, you know, having that extra length, size, and strength just to hold people off and not get deep as big. So,
5-point win in overtime over Washburn, 57-57 at the end of regulation. It felt like Northwest should have been up, maybe was up, but obviously going into OT. Was there any doubt on the bench at that point, Ella, this was Northwest's game going into that extra period?
I never thought we were going to lose the game. I knew from the start we were going to win the game. The warm-up was just electric. We were all into it. The bench energy was good. We were just feeding off of each other on the court. Like, shots would go in, so everyone's shots were going in. It was just feeding off of each other. So I never thought we were going to lose the game, even though we may have been down at some points. I just looked up, and I knew we were going to come back and win it.
Couple big back-to-back wins. We talked about adversity as a team, and Coach Meyer talking about specifically what you went through early in the season to be able to get to this point too. what's the team like behind closed doors? And how's everybody kind of lift each other up, whether it's you're battling an injury or someone's going through something personal or you're trying to dig your way out of a shooting slump? It feels like this is a pretty good group that wants to kind of pull teammates along.
Yeah, I feel like we're super close as a team, and we're really good about picking each other up and just helping each other when we're going through those little things by ourselves or behind closed doors. And I think, like, in the locker room when we were having that losing streak, we always just talked about we need to focus on the little things, we need to focus on one day ahead, and we don't need to look at the grand scheme of things. We just need to go out and work hard every single day and just focus on just doing the little things.
What's it been like for you of finding ways to earn more and more minutes? And of course, Coach, talking about the work going on in practice, but how do you kind of carve out that spot? You're say, obviously, you want the best for your teammates, but you want to put yourself in that spot to be on the floor too.
I mean, yeah, there's no promised playing time. So if you go out and you don't have a great start like I didn't, then, yeah, it's just about putting in the time and getting in the gym. I mean, working hard over Christmas break, and yeah, you just got to put your best effort in when you get the chance, and, yeah, do your best.
We're talking Bearcat women's basketball with Ella Moody and head coach Austin Meyer. Northwest on the road this week for Nebraska Kearney Thursday and Fort Hays State coming up on Saturday. Coach Meyer, this is a team you lost to again at home against UNK just by 2 points. You only gave up 48 points. That's the lowest they've scored since the last time you played them, knocking them out in the MIAA tournament. It feels like this is a different Bearcat team, despite it only being 2 weeks ago, and maybe you owe the Lopers one.
Yeah, we felt like, you know, watching back there was some, there's some little things like Ella talked about that we, little things late in the game, a couple offensive rebounds. They didn't get a ton against us, but a couple of timely offensive rebounds, and little things that, you know, we watched back and felt like we got pretty good shots. We struggled to make them, but we still had a chance to win the game, and talked about the kind of recipe. We hold them under 50. We hold them under 40% shooting. We only turn it over 8 times. So there's a lot of things in that game that you feel good about, and hopefully, you know, we've got to figure it out at home, but we've shown that we shoot the ball better on the road. It doesn't make a ton of sense since you practice every day in your own gym, but we've traditionally just played better on the road, shot it better. So hopefully we can continue that these 2 games here, and then get back to scoring it at home.
Was that a big win last year, Ella, going to Kearney, down 11 in the fourth quarter, Lindsey Kelderman the shot late in the game? Is that an uplifting one, and can you build on that here in 2025?
Oh, yeah. Well, all our MIAA games are tough, so especially going on the road, you think, like, every single game is hard, and you have to bring everything that you have to every game. So, yeah, that will definitely be carried over to this game coming up.
Bearcats and Lopers on Thursday. Then, of course, Coach Meyer, top 10 team in Fort Hays, on the road Saturday. It's been a while since the Bearcats have won in Hays. Feels like you're due.
Yeah, let's do it, right?
Why not, right?
Yeah, no, and it's a quick turnaround with the unbalanced schedule. Like Ella talked about, the league is so tough, and with the North-South right now, and, I mean, you look at our schedule, and every game is a good team. So it's unbalanced, but it is what it is. And, yeah, it's been a while since Northwest has won there. But obviously, it was before we won at Central and won at Washburn as well. So hopefully we can play well. They're really good. Katie Wagner and Olivia Hollenbeck, I'll be excited when they graduate and get out of there, because they've been there a long time, and they're two really good players, and that makes a difference, and that's why they're who they are. But we competed last time against them. We were right there. Missed some easy baskets there late that we got to finish, and but we put ourselves in a position to win a game, and I think this team knows with the teams we've played. I think we've played 6 top 25 teams this year, which is crazy, that we've been battle-tested, and hopefully that shows here over the next, you know, month and a half, 2 months of the season.
And aside from Pittsburgh State, you have paced everybody in the top half of the league. It has been kind of ridiculous,
yeah,
the MIAA setup at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble for this, but we need to go back to 22 games. We need to get the schedule more balanced, because at the end of the day right now, it's not equal. It's never going to be equal because you're not going to play home and home, but it's just, especially on the women's side, I don't know how it is on the men's side with records of which teams, but it's
it's not real even at this point.
Especially considering the road trips you got this year, too. But that's for a different show.
That's right. That's right. We control what we control, right?
That's right. Northwest Missouri State faces UNK coming up Thursday, Fort Hays State on Saturday. Coach Meyer, Ella, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
That is Northwest Missouri State's head women's basketball coach, Austin Meyer, with us, as well as junior guard Ella Moody. That's going to wrap things up for us here on the KXCV Maryville KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Once again, we've got Bearcat basketball coming up for you on Thursday. Northwest Missouri State women's basketball at 5:30 against Nebraska Kearney. The men's game will follow at 7:30. We'll be on the air at 5 o'clock right here on 90.5 and 88.9. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Trittensing. So long from Pizza Ranch.